I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, my thoughts about uncomfortable questions that I think need to be faced. It's my Can I Just Tell You commentary, and it's in just a few minutes. But first, it's time for us to go behind closed doors. That's the part of the program where we talk about issues that are often kept hidden due to stigma or shame. Today, we're going to talk about African-American men and HIV. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimate that since the year 2000, black men and women accounted for almost 50% of the new cases of HIV/AIDS in the U.S., even though African-Americans are only 13% of the population. In the past, we've brought you a number of stories about women living with HIV. Last year, for example, we brought you a conversation with Marvelyn Brown, the author of Young, Black, and HIV Positive. She talked to us about why, despite having grown up in a time when much was already known about HIV, that she still had unprotected sex that caused her to contract the virus. Christopher Brooks, a professor of anthropology at Virginia Commonwealth University and his co-author, wanted to ask men the same question. The result is Dangerous Intimacy, and it tells the stories of 10 African-American men from very different walks of life, all of whom are HIV positive. Now, we'd like to warn you that this conversation will include sexually explicit language. So if this is not a subject that is appropriate for you or those listening with you right now, then this is probably a good time to make a different choice about how to spend the next few minutes. And with that being said, Professor Brooks, welcome to the program. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle, and thank you for having me.
What were some of the issues? And you've been thinking about and reporting on the whole issue of HIV/AIDS in the black community for quite some time. What are some of the questions that you're most interested in pursuing as you put this book together?
It was my former colleague, Dr. Chris Coleman, who came to me with the idea for this particular book because he does work among African-American men with virus. So I immediately jumped on this subject and thought that it was something that I could become involved with. And we began interviewing men from various parts of the country.
Forgive me, why men?
Well, there's no question about the discussion of women with the virus, particularly with regard to the African continent. And we really know more about women who have contracted the virus, but there is much less, considerably less, talking about men and their contraction of the virus and their experience with the virus. So we saw this as a need.
One of the pieces of information that people reading this book may find surprising is that the current leading cause of HIV transmission among African-American men is through sexual contact with other men. But for women, it's the same. It's having contact, sexual contact with men. Is that, in fact, the truth? Is it that there are men who are having sex with men?
Yes.
And then they're then transmitting it to women?
To women, that is it. But the majority of the men in this book are, in fact, heterosexual and contracted the virus through heterosexual or unprotected sex or through intravenous drug activity. And I can't tell you the number of times, Michelle, that I heard several of these men as we were interviewing them say that they heard that HIV was a gay white man's disease. And since they were not gay and were not white, they didn't feel it would affect them. And that was kind of a theme that I heard several times.
But is it that they don't identify themselves as gay, but they're still having sex with men?
In some cases where that activity
is. So they just don't see it as an identity, but they're still having sex with men.
From my understanding, yes.
Well, this is a good point at which I think we should hear one of the stories that you've brought us in the book. We've preserved the pseudonyms of the authors that you use in the book. And this is the story. The first story we're going to tell is the story of Marion. If you give us a little bit of background about Marion.
Marion Moore was born in New Orleans in the 1960s. And his overall sexual identity would be homosexual, but to that end, he had two traumatic sexual experiences, inappropriate sexual debuts, if you will. One was by a relative when he was about 5, and one a few years later by an older child. And he feels that both of those experiences affected his adult sexuality.
Well, why don't we just play a clip of Marion reading his own story, and I want to emphasize, you can, again, that there is sexually explicit language. And if you want to hear more of his story, we'll have longer excerpts on our website, which you can access perhaps at a time that might be more appropriate for you. But here's an excerpt of Marion reading his own story.
William and I met before I went into the military. William began suggesting that we use condoms. I'm not sure what prompted it, but I received a letter from William while I was on base. Some of those times that I had come home and not been able to find him, he had been in jail, as he explained in his letter. Overall, the letter was vague. Finally, I got another letter from him saying he had AIDS. William died in April 1989, just before his 24th birthday. I tested positive for the virus in February 1990.
And just to reiterate a couple of points that you made, that Marion is not the only person you talk to in this book where... Well, let me just quote you. You say, in the book, a disturbing number of the men in this book were introduced to sex at an inappropriate age, and also yes. in a manner that is inappropriate. He was at 5. He remembers being sexually abused by an uncle, a memory that he suppressed until he was sexually assaulted by a high school bully. And I'm just wondering, what do you make of that? There's yes. this question about whether, when it comes to questions of sexual behavior and identity, whether this is a question of biology or whether this is a question of learned behavior. And some of these men make the point that they think that their behavior was determined very early on by the fact that they had experienced inappropriate sexual contact. So yes. I want to ask whether you think this is something prevalent that is perhaps under discussed, that boys are perhaps more vulnerable to inappropriate sexual contact than we are willing to admit for whatever reason.
In the case of Marion Moore, he made a very persuasive argument that those experiences as a child did, in fact, affect his adult sexuality. So I believe that it needs to be looked at a little bit more and to realize that boys are just as susceptible of this as girls.
I'm curious how you chose the men in this book. And is it your view that their experiences are representative?
I do.
But how do you know that their experience of how they were introduced to sex, how they responded to, how they sort of developed their sexual identity and behaviors, how they chose to respond to the challenge of HIV, how do you know those are representative? I mean, the stories are all interesting and compelling and yes. very moving on their own, but how do you know that they are typical enough for us to draw instruction from?
After doing so many interviews, you will hear various themes being repeated. You'll hear a number of common phrases, and then you base it upon that. Now, ideally, Michelle, we would have had some younger individuals, okay? Some who were college age or in their 20s or what have you. But typically, they are far less likely to speak about their experience because typically the virus and the experience is new for them and what have you, and there may be some denial. There was denial with a number of the men in this particular book, but they came to grips with it.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with Professor Christopher Brooks. He's the co-author, along with Christopher Lance Coleman, of Dangerous Intimacy. It profiles 10 African-American men with HIV. And we want to again remind listeners that this conversation does include some sexually explicit language. So this may or may not be an appropriate topic for you at this time. I want to listen to another story. This is Oscar. Tell us a little bit more about Oscar, if you would.
Oscar Dubois. And this is yet another story of an inappropriate sexual debut. He was subjected to a babysitter and a teenage girl, and it introduced him to that kind of sex at a very early age. And he argues, or in telling his story, he said that that also made him hypersexual. And there, having a number of female partners and what have you, and how he eventually contracted the virus through unprotected sex.
Let's hear Oscar in his own words.
Marlene and I started dating, and before long, we were having unprotected sex. I was still dating other women and occasionally dealing with prostitutes. Sometimes the sex was protected, sometimes it wasn't. July 1996, I'd eaten some raw oysters and started getting diarrhea. Finally, I went to the clinic to get tested. I was called in and met with this Asian doctor. She informed me that my HIV test had returned positive. She said, according to the test, I only had 72 T cells, which meant I'd been infected for some time.
And again, I want to point out that we will have a longer version of Oscar's story on our website. That's the Tell Me More page at npr.org. But I can see where this book would be very controversial because it addresses some of the stereotypes that many people have about African-American men. Mm. Hypersexual, promiscuous, if you want to use that word, or on the down low, as it were, you know, having a double life, not wanting to be admitting it, sort of living, in one case, a person's very church-oriented and so forth, but living a completely other life. But in each of these cases, there was an underlying reason that they identified, and so that they felt was motivating their behavior. And so I'm just wondering, what is it you think we should draw from this? What do you think the overarching message of these stories is?
Well, I guarantee you that all of these stories, that there's someone who will be able to identify with them in one way or another, black, white, or whomever. But we believe that all of the stories were relevant and instructive because all of these men entered into care. And if someone were to take a message away from it, I would like for that message to be that even if you contract the virus, you can live to become an adult. You can do a number of things that anyone else as a non-carrier of the HIV virus would do. But it is important to enter care.
We started this conversation with a question. And one of the questions I think many people have is why in a country in which HIV has been identified for quite some time, HIV education, awareness of how one contracts HIV, and a lot of education is available. Why do people continue to engage in risky behavior? Did you come any closer to an answer to that question?
I can't say that I did, because as you said, we have known about the virus for over 25 years. Why deals with human behavior? And even though the information is there, it's a very difficult question. I teach a course, a graduate course, HIV in Africa, and we look at this issue. Now, I was in Kenya in 2007 to evaluate a program sponsored through the Christian Children's Fund. And if you can imagine, children there at the age of 7 and 8 who would otherwise be singing songs about who knows, are in fact chanting anti-HIV slogans. And I found that remarkable. And it suggested to me that we have a good deal of work to do.
Dangerous Intimacy tells the stories of 10 African-American men from different walks of life who are all living with HIV/AIDS. Professor Christopher Brooks is co-author along with Professor Christopher Lance Coleman. Professor Brooks was kind enough to join us from WCVE in Richmond, Virginia. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle.
And Tell Me More, the conversation never ends. Now we'd like to ask if you or someone you love is living with HIV/AIDS. We'd like to ask what circumstances you think led to your contracting the virus and what might have encouraged you to stay safe. To tell us what you think and to hear what other listeners are saying, you can call our comment line at 202-842-3522. That number again is 202-842-3522, or visit our website at the Tell Me More page at npr.org and blog it out.